Hello and welcome back to another weekly episode of the NFL interview. Week 4 is in the books, and once again, another exciting week. Lots of drama, lots of big news, lots of big games, lots of close games, and a good week of football for most NFL fans. I'm here with my friend Connor Cavanaugh. Man, how are you feeling after a weekend of football?
I'm feeling pretty good. Eagles on top of the world right now. Raiders get their first win of the year, and Baker Mayfield has the worst QBR in football. I'm excited to talk about it all.
Yeah, definitely. Baker Mayfield's not helping his case whatsoever. I saw Matt Rhule come out and blame the wide receivers for not getting open. And that's something I never thought an NFL head coach would say.
He's a college coach, man.
He really is, and he's showing it. And it's really, really, really sad to see. It is what it is. Baker Mayfield's not getting better, and I think it might have to be time where you got to throw Sam Darnold in there. But enough of that, because that's their own problem, and I don't think it's ever going to get fixed with that team. They're all over the place. I'm sure the locker room is just a madhouse. But let's jump right into things, man. Let's go into Thursday night game, the Bengals and the Dolphins. And this is a tough one. This is a tough one for NFL fans, man, to see. As Tua tried to play through what seemingly was a concussion that never really got healed, never really properly got attended to, and went into this game, and it was a really scary injury.
Yeah, I mean, obviously this being the biggest story of the week in the football world, and a lot of people have already harped on, you know, the NFL rules and, you know, all the, you know, investigation and stuff around everything, so I'm not going to harp into that. If this, you know, there is a good chance that this is the end for Tua, at least for this year, and, you know, hopefully that's it, if it, you know, even does get to that. And it does suck, because Miami did look really good to start the year. Tua looked like he was having a lot of fun, finally playing, you know, with some good guys, you know, around him, and, you know, he looked really good. And it's really unfortunate for him and for Miami. You know, now, you know, their season's turned upside down, you know, now going to the backup with Teddy Bridgewater. In terms of Cincinnati, we saw a good offensive performance from them, you know, this week, which was definitely good to see. Wasn't a big fan of the all white unis, but
no,
I wasn't actually. I think
that's a definitely a minority pick there.
Yeah. Sure. I don't know. I like the orange and black, you know, look like they normally go with, and I just felt like, you know, just wasn't a huge fan. But, you know, Burrow looked good. The two touchdowns, no turnovers, you know, from him. And offensively, they look good. Obviously, you know, in the second half, you know, with Bridgewater at the helm defensively, they looked really good. But you kind of expect that when, you know, the backup comes in. So, good win for Cincinnati and for Miami. Really tough pill to swallow for, you know, a team that had such a promising start.
Yeah, they had a really good start. And obviously, we'll see how the Tua thing comes out. I don't know really how many more games he can play until he's completely safe and away from the game for a couple weeks, and maybe he gets back out there, which always now is going to be a worry whenever he's playing football right now until he gets completely healed. Who knows? Concussions last for a long time, man. Those are one of the injuries where you don't really know, you know, and it's definitely tough. I feel for him. I feel for the Dolphins. I feel for Tua. It's tough. Teddy's done this before. He's been around the block.
Oh, yeah.
Teddy can handle himself. He's not going to be, you know, as explosive. I think that limits the Dolphins a little bit, especially with Tyreek Hill. Like, that's going to be a big thing. I don't know how many big down the, you know, field plays they're going to be able to make with Teddy Bridgewater, because I don't think he's really that type of quarterback. He's more of your, like, intermediate underneath stuff and, you know, game manager type guy and just gets the job done. So we'll see. Bengals back to looking like what they should be. And Ja'Marr Chase looking a little bit back to what he should be. And these guys, you know, they got to keep grinding out these wins, man. They got to turn the season around. They are so far. An 0-3 start would have been hard. A 1-3 start definitely would have been difficult for them. But it's good to see them back on the right track where they should be.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely. Now, here's a game we can jump right into. You might not be a little bit happy. You probably have a lot more here.
Don't get me started.
I don't know a thing about this game. All I know is my quarterback, Carson Wentz, my old quarterback, is not, you know, planning out to be the 2017 hype guy, the guy that's, you know, making all these plays. He's turning into the rest of his career, what his career's been. It's just been up and down, and my outsider's thoughts before you get into this, because I'm sure you're going to have a lot to say about it, because, I don't. It's just Carson Wentz, the O-line, him holding on to the ball, just making mistakes, boneheaded plays. It's just been the knock on him forever, and he's not going to change. It works until it doesn't work, and it worked the first 2 weeks. It looked better. He looked like a guy that can, you know, go out there and make some really good plays and say, wow, okay, Washington's got a quarterback. And then right back down to earth, right back down to the same old Carson. As for the Cowboys, Cooper Rush has been very solid for them, and he actually has done more than they can ever ask for, and has put this Dallas team in 3 straight wins, which is big. But as we all are waiting for here, so what is your opinion and thoughts on this Commanders game, especially from the Commanders side?
Gotta exhale a little bit before I unload here. All right. Starting with Washington's side of this game, Carson Wentz was terrible, and the O-line was just as bad. And I hear a lot of people right now giving Carson a lot of, you know, cutting him some slack right now because the O-line is really beat up and has not looked good these last 2 weeks against, you know, the Eagles in Dallas. But just as much of the blame goes on Carson Wentz. He's been holding onto the ball way too long. The decisions have not been good. There was one throw in this whole entire game that was a good-looking throw from Carson Wentz, and it was the touchdown to Jahan Dotson. Other than that, it was completely errant throws, not making, you know, the decisions, you know, quickly enough, letting this bull rush D-line of Dallas get to you. It was just a terrible offensive performance. Defensively for Washington, they actually played a pretty solid football game in the trenches. They kept Zeke and Pollard pretty contained. They couldn't really run the ball very well. I actually disagree. I think overall Cooper Rush has looked pretty good, but I don't think he looked very good on Sunday. He threw 2 picks that were negated by defensive holding penalties. And that's just from me watching the game. So I do think overall he's been okay, but I think, you know, this week he wasn't as good. But defensively, it's always with Washington the big plays. They always give up the big play. We saw it last week against Philadelphia in the second quarter with Devontae Smith, and it's backbreakers. Everybody can run down the field on this Washington secondary, and it's so hard to keep teams from scoring points when all they have to do is get a big chunk on one play. Defensively on the line, they played really good, but it didn't matter because they would give up a big play, a ton of penalties in the game, a really bad outing for Washington, and I'm really starting to lose confidence. And, you know, for the Cowboys, I guess maybe we do have a quarterback controversy, but in terms of Washington, just definitely not what I thought they were going to be through 4 games, and right back to depressed Commander fan, like I'm used to.
What was your expectation, seriously, going into the season for Commanders? As it's just been, you know, a kind of a just a new everything. I mean, you got the new brand, you got, you know, the new quarterback, Ron Rivera's back, kind of like healthy again, like run the team. I mean, maybe, you know, the D line's supposed to be good. I know Chase Young has been out, obviously, which definitely hurts, like his progression. But what was your really expectations going in for the Commanders this season?
Just to be a solid football team. I mean, you know, I know Carson's going to win me some games and he's also going to lose me some games, but, you know, obviously you just talked about the D-line, and defensively, on paper, they're a pretty sound group. It just hasn't clicked the last few years. Last year, they were awful defensively after being, you know, a top 10 defense two years, you know, back in 2020, and it hasn't clicked so far to start the year. Obviously, they looked a little bit better, you know, in this game, as I outlined, but it just hasn't clicked for them defensively. But, you know, I thought they were going to be a solid football team. I thought Wentz was going to win and lose you some games. They were going to be able to run the ball, you know, effectively with Robinson, who's, you know, going to be coming back, you know, looking like this week, and, you know, and Gibson, and with the, you know, additions, you know, of Curtis Samuel, who I don't know. I just feel like he's an addition this year because he didn't play, you know, last year. But I thought the offense was going to be more dynamic, which through 2 weeks it did look like that. The last 2 weeks it's been pitiful. I just expected a more solid and consistent football team, and that's just not what we've had.
Yeah, and I'm looking over the stats here for the Commanders and Carson. I mean, Carson was 25-42. Threw 2 picks. He was sacked twice.
2 bad ones, too, because not all picks are created equally. They were bad picks.
Bad picks. 56 rating. I mean, no receiver had a chance in this game to really do nothing. as much as Echols and Carson, it could, you know, that defense for Dallas definitely causes problems, and I think that didn't help Carson at all. I mean, obviously with your offensive line being weaker than what it is, that D line and that defense has been extremely good this year. It has hasn't let up more than, I think, 17 points.
Yeah,
at all this season, they're dominant. Any game, so they've been very good. So it was a tough one coming in on paper. I didn't expect the Commanders to win this game. I'm sure you didn't expect them to win this game, but expected it to be a closer game than it was. 25-10 is definitely, you know, not what you want. But they did hold them to 4 field goals. That you said their defense is fine. I don't really know where they go from here, man. I Commanders are, they're 1-3. I mean, it's not over yet. Obviously, if you're trying to fight for a division spot or a wild card spot, whatever, because the NFC right now is kind of open after the top, right now at least. And who knows, man? Who really knows? Unless Carson figures out turning around, do you think a quarterback change in the future at all?
I mean, I think it's very possible they could go back to Heinicke because, you know, with Heinicke, you're not going to be able to do as much, you know, explosiveness, and you're not going to be as dynamic offensively, but you're also not going to have some of these bonehead plays that you do get from Carson. And, you know, you tried to warn me of this, and I was a little bit bullish on him. But, you know, it is frustrating, and Heinicke does provide a little bit less of that. Obviously, he's got nowhere near the arm talent that Carson does. So I don't think either situation is ideal for Washington, right. But I think at some point, you know, Ron Rivera is in year 3, and he's going to have to, you know, do something to keep his job. And, you know, if they go to, you know, 1-5, 1-6, which, you know, they're playing Tennessee at home, you know, this week, and Tennessee's coming off, you know, a win, that could easily be a loss, easily. And, you know, you could be looking at 1-4. I could see a world where they do go to Heinicke.
That's fair. That is fair. And, yeah, Ron Rivera, that's definitely a hot name now, I'm sure. Definitely a hot name because, you know, he got ran out of Carolina. And now for Matt Rhule, which is something, which is crazy. He hasn't done much at all.
No.
But, definitely tough scenes. I hope all the best, of course, towards you, man. Because, like, it's weird. Everyone probably hates me. Probably thinks I'm weird, Eagles fans. Like, why I actually stick up for Carson. It's because, like, I think he got treated fairly by the fan base. Treated unfairly by the fan base. Until his last year where it was like, okay, this guy's doing what he's doing now. Where it's like, all right, you can't defend the guy. He just won't learn, and he won't learn. And it is from there. But, you know, he wins a Super Bowl for us, or puts us in the same, you know, realm to get us to where they have to be. And that's where I got some love for Carson, man. So I really hope that team and him turning around soon, because they need to. But we're moving on to
one more question about the Cowboys. Please. I feel like we didn't talk a ton about the Cowboys. I know, neither do I, but, you know, there's going to be this one Cowboy fan who's listening that's going to be super, you know, super mad that we didn't talk about him enough. I just want to ask you, do you think we're getting close, at least close, to having a quarterback controversy, or do you still think we're not there?
Because I really don't think we're there still. Dak is going to be this team's quarterback. I 100% agree with it. I believe in it. Obviously, it's tough to see when the results are 3-0 as a starter. But Dak is a better quarterback. And as much as people might not see, if now the talk from the media is coming up a little bit now because of the wins. They're not the same quarterback. Well, they can play like kind of the same quarterback, don't they? They kind of do play similar.
They're pretty similar.
They do play similar. But Dak is the heart and soul of this team, and I think he is a leader on this team, even though sometimes he might not show it, and you could definitely see sometimes he might get frustrated with himself and not show it. But I think Dak is a better all-around quarterback. As an actual starting quarterback in the NFL, he will come back and be this team's quarterback. I don't think there's going to be an issue whatsoever. Unless Cooper Rush, you know, shows more personally and his own performance next game. And next game
is the Rams.
The Cowboys play the Rams.
If they beat the Rams, I think you might have a little bit of conversation there. Even though the Rams don't look like the Rams from last year right now, if you go and beat the Rams as Cooper Rush, and you're now 4-0 on the year, 5-0 as a starter, I don't know. I think maybe then you do have a conversation, you know, at least a little bit of a conversation. But I do agree. Dak's the better quarterback.
Yeah, so we'll see. I mean, Cooper Rush goes, Cavs beats the Rams, that'll be something. But I don't see it. Well, who knows, man? I haven't seen a lot this year and a lot of surprises so far. Now, Seahawks-Lions. There's almost 100 points scored in this game. This was a complete slugfest. And you haven't seen that this year yet. and you're always due for a couple of these a year. And this was fun to just see as a football fan, just to see scoring, you know. Some people don't might not like these type of games. I think these games are extremely fun to watch, especially against teams that are like, you know, I mean, the Lions and Seahawks, they're like two teams that aren't really anything special. I didn't expect this, but they're both defenses are really bad. The Lions have scored the most points in the NFL.
Crazy. Who would have thought?
The Detroit Lions are in the top of the NFL and score points and are 1-3. Their defense is extremely, extremely poor. And it's tough to watch, man, because, like, these guys have talent. These Lions actually have good talent. Amon-Ra St. Brown is a stud. T.J. Hockenson had an extreme breakout game this week. He's a stud. Jamal Williams might be one of the best backup running backs in the NFL, who's performing every week before DeAndre Swift went down. So it was a really fun game to watch. But I don't really have, there's really nothing for me to take away from this game other than just both defenses were bad. They aired it out. Geno Smith looked like prime Geno Smith, whatever that is. And you know what? Good on that game. And Geno showed out, and the Seahawks pulled out a win. And the Seahawks are 2-2. You know? I mean, hey, for what it's worth, they're 2-2.
You're right. I mean, Geno, whatever. You're right. Whatever prime Geno is, that's what came out on Sunday. The Seahawks, I don't really have much to talk about. I mean, I just, you know, they're not going to be very competitive, I don't think. But a really, you know, a really big offensive performance. The Lions is kind of what I want to touch on more, like the same, you know, way you did. Because offensively, they're freaking dynamic, man. I mean, no DeAndre Swift and no Amon-Ra St. Brown this week, and they still put up 45. You talked about Jamal Williams. I mean, give it a couple more weeks, and Detroit might be running for the best running back duo over Cleveland right now, you know, in the NFL. I know you like Cleveland, but
I do.
But, I mean, those guys are two studs back there. Josh Reynolds came out and was big. Stepping up Jared huge. Goff looks great. You know, with this young group of guys, but you're right, defensively they can't make a single stop. I mean, 48 points to the Seattle Seahawks is crazy. And you know, if you're the Lions, you've been in every single game that you've played, you know, this year. I mean, obviously the comeback in week one, you know, you were out of that for a while, you know, against Philadelphia, but you've been competitive. And if you want to stay competitive, you have to start being able to do a little bit defensively. I mean, you know, you can't be giving up 48 points to a Seattle Seahawks team with, you know, no offense, but you know, a backup quarterback in as a starter right now. Like, you know, it just can't happen. But, you know, this was a fantasy either nightmare or dream. And that's
it
really
was a nightmare
that,
for me. Let me tell you, nightmare.
That's what I take away from this game. I mean, you know, if you're the Lions, you gotta learn how to make a stop every now and then at least.
Yeah, they got to get a stop on a third down. I mean, any down, to be honest, it's not working out for them right now, and it's really weird. Because that division is kind of open. As much as the Packers should win this division.
They don't look like world beaters.
They don't look like world beaters. The Vikings are vulnerable. Absolutely vulnerable. The Lions have put up the most impressive offensively out of, obviously, the whole NFL, technically, by points. No matter what people say or not, you know, people want to look at, you know, other teams' offense, like actual good teams like the Bills, like the Ravens, even the Eagles so far this year, who were scoring points and winning games decisively. That's a word? I think it's a word.
Yeah, decisively, yeah,
that's
a word.
That's a good one, right?
Open up the dictionary.
Yeah, of course. But yeah, Detroit have scored points, and they could very well, if they played a little bit of defense, be 3-1 or 2-2 and right in the thick of things, and they still are. They still are in the thick of things in that division. I wouldn't be surprised if they decide to, you know, win a couple games. Like, what their next game, I think, for the Detroit Lions over here, they play the Patriots at home in not at home, in New England.
Might be against Bailey Zappi, though.
Exactly, yeah,
Bailey and if Zappi. Not, it's against Hoyer. So either way.
I mean, Geno Smith just burned him. Who knows?
You're right.
Might turn it back. You're right. But a game that they can absolutely win, they probably should win so far just by looking at their, you know, at how they played. And they're right there, man. So I've always, like, liked the Lions, man. Obviously, we keep bringing this up every week. But
we
the
do.
Hard knocks,
we're Lions fans.
We're Lions fans.
We're Lions
but
fans.
But I just need them to start winning games when they put up this many points. And it's not working out yet so far. But it is fun to see these guys play. You said it. You said Josh, like, you know, Josh Reynolds. These guys are stepping up. You have, you know, who else stepped up in this game? I mean, you name it.
I mean, you
anybody.
Talked about Hockenson with
I mean,
the ridiculous
Tom Kennedy.
Day.
I don't even know who Tom Kennedy is.
I don't
Keeping
either.
Up a decent game. 50-something yards. Had a few catches. I mean, Jamal Williams, a monster. I mean, you name it, man. They look really good. Jared Goff has been an extreme surprise. And good on him, because he needs to turn his career around. He has so far in Detroit. And hopefully he keeps that up, because it's very impressive to watch. Another guy who needs to turn his, well, not really turn his career around, but get back into the swing of things after injury and some thoughts on social media and all different things lately, Zach Wilson, who went in against the Steelers and played a decent game. And I think the Jets' takeaways here is that defense really is playing pretty well this whole year. They made both Trubisky and Kenny Pickett look silly with their throws and the pressure that they get to them. Obviously, I think, you know, a couple of these were just throws that kind of heave down the field that just, you know, into traffic and guys, you know, make a nice play on it. But the Jets haven't looked really too bad this season. They're 2-2 as well. And I think Zach Wilson looked good for his first game back. Again, the Steelers aren't a bad defense, but I don't really have any big takeaways. I don't know what your opinions are in this game, other than just the quarterback play, I think, for both sides. But the Jets pulled out a decent win, 24-20 on Sunday.
Yeah, Zach Wilson actually looked pretty good for, you know, not playing for 2 months. He did look pretty solid. He had, you know, decent command of the offense. Breece Hall, you know, is starting to look like he's, you know, starting to get a majority of the touches
over
Michael Carter. So, you know, I expect as, you know, the next couple weeks go on, you know, if he continues, you know, to run the ball well, to, you know, see that, you know, grow even more. And you're right, the defense did impress. I mean, the biggest thing for me, you know, on the Jets side is Pittsburgh, no matter how, you know, the team is, that's a tough place to go and win a freaking game, man.
Yeah, I mean,
it really is. And it's been the Jets' kryptonite for years now. I mean, I feel like they haven't won a game there since I was born. And, you know, really good on them, you know, to go get a win. Second year coach, Robert Saleh, he's got this team at 2-2. We'll see, you know, what else happens. And, you know, if you're Pittsburgh right now, Najee Harris is a worry, and you don't have a quarterback that can't throw a pick right now.
Yeah, it's kind of, yeah, it's said something. A quarterback that can't keep the ball, you know, out of the other team's hands. But yeah, Najee Harris, man, I don't know what it is. I mean, he had 18 carries, 74 yards, which, you know, is what it is. But this is your explosive young guy.
He's the offense
that's right got to take over this game, because with these guys, Deontay Johnson's not in the game. George Pickens, who's had good years, he's the only one really performing. It takes a and Pat Freiermuth, but I mean, your most dynamic guy, I think, Deontay Johnson, at least coming into the season, is really a nobody right now in this offense. And he needs to get going. Chase Claypool's absolutely just not even involved at all.
No.
And it's all your quarterback play. It really is. And these guys need to just settle things down and figure it out. Mike Tomlin, as you know, he's a good coach. He's been a great coach for this team for a long, long time now. The Steelers, like we always say, aren't going to lay down and sit and let teams run over them and roll up a season and call it a year. They got to figure it out. And I, early on, said Pickens should be playing. Now, I don't know how you feel. I know Trubisky got benched in this game. And Kenny Pickett came in and threw 10 for 13, 120 yards, 3 picks. His 3 completions were all picks. But he didn't look great. He looked at least a guy who I can trust more to just uplift the team more than Mitchell Trubisky. Can give something more than he's giving. Because I think Trubisky is extremely capped at whatever he is now. It's just what he is. He's just going to be Trubisky. He's going to be a backup. And I don't know if rushing Pickett is the correct answer, but I would play him.
Yeah, I think I kind of agree with you now. I was kind of on the other side to start the year. I thought Mitch was the right option to start. But Mitch just hasn't really shown any urgency with the offense. It just hasn't looked it just hasn't looked good. You haven't even really seen any glimpses. Like, if you even saw, you know, some glimpses through the first couple of games with the offense being, you know, whole and, you know, looking, you know, like it was clicking with Mitch, then I think you ride it out longer. But if he just wasn't giving you anything. So I think at that point you do go Kenny. He, you know, obviously 3 picks is not what, you know, is not going to help you win games. But, you know, thrown into a tough situation in a close game, at, you know, not even being able to start the game coming in, you know, in the second half. Definitely, you know, not a great, you know, way to throw a rookie in there. But, you know, once you've seen enough, you've seen enough. And Tomlin saw enough, and I agree. I think it's time to, you know, give it to Pickett for a little bit.
He can't do worse.
No, he can't. As much as, that's a great point.
And I know you're big on, like, you know, the guy sitting back and learning. I mean,
Who's he learning from? You're right.
I don't know what his quarterback coach is. I don't know. I'm not familiar with the quarterback coach of Pittsburgh. I don't know what these guys are, you know, how good they have been, how reputable they've been in the past. But, I mean, Pickett, he's your guy that you drafted. This is what happens with rookies. With a lot of rookies, man, that they play in years where they're not so great. Like Trevor Lawrence, he just played, and obviously he's different. He was a number one overall pick, and he got thrown into it. A Jaguar situation where he had nobody, man. He had nobody. No. It's the same type of situation. You got to just throw him out there and let him go through the lows, because that only makes players better, especially as a rookie. And if you have Mike Tomlin, I trust him enough to get this guy on the right track. And I think Pickett should be there every Sunday guy now. And I hope so. I mean, I just like the upside more. And I think that's what you should play for now in a season where they're 1-3, and if it wasn't for a 4-pick day out of Joe Burrow in the first game of the year and 5 turnovers, they'd be 0-4, and they'd be looking for answers. I don't think the Steelers fans, I don't think them themselves looked in the mirror and said they're an 0-4 football team with the team that they've surrounded themselves with, without a quarterback or with a quarterback. So I hope Kenny Pickett keeps playing, and I think he'll be all right. I think he'll be okay for what they're asking, which is just go in there, compete, and just don't worry about it. Just go out there and play.
Yeah, definitely. Gonna have to see what he looks like for the next couple of weeks. Another team that's been disappointing is Indy.
Indy's so
I don't know, man. I really don't, because now you got the injury with Taylor. He wasn't running the ball very well to start anyway, but I got some real questions about Indianapolis. For you, was this more about, you know, Indianapolis getting down early, and, you know, was this more, you know, negatives on Indianapolis, or, you know, is this more kudos to Tennessee for, you know, getting off to the hot start and, you know, going up 24 to, I think they were up 24-10.
Yeah, they were up 24-10.
Even more than that, 24-3, I think it was.
Was it? Yeah, no, it was 24-3.
Yeah.
So, I think this is on Indianapolis. I believe this team, especially against the Tennessee secondary, you have Matt Bryan, who is absolutely more than capable to get your receivers. And he did that this week. Late in the game, when they have to throw, he threw for 356. He threw for a lot of yards. But this team can't start out slow. And to be honest, Jonathan Taylor can't rush for 2 yards a carry.
Nope, can't happen.
He can't do it. That's your superstar running back, who's supposed to be the next man up. In all facets, he had one catch for a yard. He's not even involved. He's involved on the ground, but he's not doing anything with it.
Yeah.
And if it wasn't for one 11-yard rush, this guy might have had 20 for 30. And it's, I think it's more completely on Frank Reich, number one. He has to start getting some flack here, because he was a guy who is supposed to come in and just, you know, he's a leader type of coach. Well, every coach should be, but he had the mentality when he came from the Eagles as a offensive coordinator who was supposed to be an offensive guru and then one of the new guys in the block with his schemes and stuff. And last year you saw it a little bit. You saw a lot of Jonathan Taylor, so I mean that's more on him. But this is on Matt Ryan, Jonathan Taylor, and Frank Reich only right now. I think Matt Ryan hasn't done enough early to just give them a chance. Here you could say he gave him enough, but it was a lot of garbage time. But these guys can't do this, and they're a better team. Their receiver and core might be slim. Michael Pittman is a good receiver. He had one catch on Sunday. Matt Ryan loves his tight ends. 4 out of the 5 of his touchdown passes have been to tight ends this year. And I don't know what they do here. I don't know what's going to fix for this team, because these games that they're playing, they're not playing good secondaries. They aren't taking advantage of it. And, I mean, you can't tie to Houston week one. You can't go beat Kansas City and get maybe some confidence back, get your mojo back, and then go to Tennessee and lay an egg in the first quarter.
Yep.
Lay an egg the whole set first half.
Yeah.
And it's bad. This is just, in my opinion, totally on the Colts, and they got to figure something out quick, man.
I totally agree. If you're Frank Reich, you were the guy who was supposed to fix Carson Wentz. So you go out, you get Carson Wentz, it doesn't work. You say it doesn't work, you say you need to go in a different direction. The organization gets rid of him for you. They bring in another veteran quarterback with Jonathan Taylor, and they're a solid football team. And it's still not working out. If you're Frank Reich, you got to look in the mirror and figure out what the hell is going on in Indianapolis, because it is not working, and you better turn around quick or you're going to be on your couch watching football on Sundays just like I am right now.
Yeah, and it's really weird, dude, because Indy has just gone through these quarterback changes now every year.
Mm-hmm.
I think their fourth quarterback in 4 years, is it not?
Yeah, I mean,
coming from Andrew Luck since his retirement, it's just been new quarterbacks every year. And the core of the team has relatively been the same. Like, your Paris Campbell's has been on the team. Your Nyheim Hines has been on the team. Your Mel Ali Cox has been on the team. Your Michael Pittman last year, who came up, who's supposed to be the guy, like, you know, the next guy. John Taylor last year, who's supposed to be the next great thing at the running back position. The defense has been there, has always been there, and it's not really been there so far this year. And it's just on the offense, and I don't know what Indy's going to do from here. If they can't win games that they should win, their schedule's only going to get tougher. Next week, I believe they play Denver. They do. They play Denver next week on, I think, is it Thursday Night Football? Thursday Night Football.
Yep.
They play Denver, so that's tomorrow. If they don't beat the Denver Broncos, who are completely dismantled, Frank Reich deserves to be on the hot seat. And if I wouldn't be surprised if he's fired within the next couple weeks.
Yeah.
This can't happen.
Definitely. Definitely on the hot. Definitely got to start, you know, thinking about that. And, you know, another coach who isn't on the hot seat because he's one of the top coaches of football, but, you know, another fourth down blunder from John Harbaugh and the Baltimore Ravens on Sunday.
Dude, I don't know why this is their philosophy so far this year of just blowing late leads. Bad, just head-scratching decision-making late, just making boneheaded plays, playing, I don't know, the offense doesn't click anymore in the fourth quarter. And I don't know what it's on. It starts from Harbaugh, for sure. But Lamar didn't have a great game.
No, he didn't.
He didn't have a great game. But he's the guy who obviously is up there right now for MVP talks. He's been the most vocal quarterback this season to go get a contract next year. You can't let these games keep happening with these leads. You can't keep blowing these leads. At some point, you got to take control of this offense and go finish out a game. And I don't know what to say about this team. They have the pieces, obviously. They're putting up points. But they're just not doing anything with it. And it's really weird, man. I don't know. I think, it's on Lamar. Good for the Bills to fight back. But they were, 20-10? Was it 20-3? Was there a 20-3 in this game?
I think it was 20-10.
20-10. 20-10, I mean, a 10-point lead isn't anything special, obviously, against the Bills. But it's a lead nonetheless in a bad weather game where you should take advantage of your ground game because it's much better.
At home.
At home. At home. And they lost another one. And I don't know. Who do you point fingers at if you point fingers?
I agree. It's Lamar and Harbaugh. I mean, with Lamar on the fourth down play. I'm just specifically talking about the fourth down play in this game. I mean, just a bad decision on the pick. I mean, at that point, you're at your 2-yard line. It's fourth and goal with 4 minutes to go. Nothing's there, and if you can't run into the end zone, you can't make a throw that's, you know, going to give you a chance, you know, give your wide receiver a chance to throw the ball away and put money on your defense to not let Buffalo go all the way down the field from your 2-yard line. You're at the 2-yard line. Instead, you try to force something into the end zone. It gets picked. Now, not only do you not come away with points, but now you put Buffalo in a position where all they have to do is go down and get a field goal to win. They're not at the 2-yard line anymore. A terrible, terrible decision in play by Lamar, but I think the decision to go for it was also a bad decision, and that's why I'm also going to put some blame on Harbaugh. I don't know how many times I need to watch a Baltimore Ravens game where it ends with Baltimore not converting on a 4th and goal and they end up losing, or a 4th down. I don't know how many times I need to watch a Ravens game where that happens for it to go through Harbaugh's head to not go for it late in games in these situations. It hurt him again. this is your, like you said, this is two games this year against two good opponents in Miami and Buffalo that you had leads, and you blew it. If you're Baltimore, that's concerning. Lamar didn't have a great game. Lamar's Lamar. I'm not worried about that, but it is definitely concerning that you did blow two of these kinds of leads, especially through 4 weeks.
Do you kick a field goal?
I mean,
do you take points?
I think you do. I mean, because I think even if you do want to go for it, this is why I think blame is going goes on both, you know, Harbaugh and Jackson. Because even if you do decide to go for it, you could tell as the play was developing, there was nothing there. Lamar was not going to be able to get to the edge, run the ball in, and they had every single Raven in the end zone covered like a Band-Aid. You, at least, if you're Lamar, you have to have the intuition to understand, going into that play, before the play even starts, you'd rather give Buffalo the ball at the 2-yard line tied than what you did. And you threw a bad pick. Honestly, if it were me, I'm going for the field goal. I'm just going to take the points. So yeah, that's why I am going to put, you know, some blame on Harbaugh. But if you're Lamar, you can't make that throw.
No, you can't make the throw. And they were at the 1-yard line, which on second down. With, obviously, they ran with J.K. Dobbins, I believe, didn't get anywhere.
No.
But your team and how you built this team is to run through Lamar, run through this attack. And when you're down at the 1, man, I mean, you got to pound it and just, you got to trust your O-line, who's literally your team this season. And putting the ball in Lamar's hands is the right decision. Putting the ball in Lamar's hands to throw the football and him to make a stupid throw, which he tends to make, because he's never been a prolific passer in this league. He's never been a smart passer. He's always been a guy that takes a lot of chances, and it hasn't really worked that much other than his MVP year and his career. And that's what hurts him the most. And I think in this situation, man, with 4 minutes left in this game, you got to look back into it. You got to go into after your first play of that, you know, first and goal, you get 9 yards. You're now at the 1-yard line. You got to say right there, all right, we're either taking two shots of, you know, bully ball football up the middle and either going to punch it in, or you just got to take points. Or if you're going to go for it, make it just a right play call to where you can't hand it away. Make a play call to where it's only you. Make it either making a self mistake to where you come up short. They're up to 2, game's tied. You make a couple stops. It's been bad weather. And instead, they just do the. Lamar just makes a stupid throw. And I hate always picking up games and saying it's just the one play that ruins this game. But these types of games, it really is.
Yeah. Winnable game at home against a really good Buffalo team that didn't look very good offensively. This was a game you should have won if you're Baltimore with a lead at home. Crappy weather. This is a game you should have won, and it's a disappointment not to.
Yeah, and again, you give the ball back to Buffalo, and they just run right down the field. It's not even competitive. You don't even have a chance to stop this team. It's tough to watch, man, because Baltimore keeps doing this, and they should very well have 3 wins under their belt. And it's tough. I mean, you can't blame anyone else but themselves. But it is what it is, man. And we move on from it. They got it. They got to figure it out. But move on. Packers Pats in Lambeau. And this one was a little bit strange to me. I talked about this before we hopped on, that the line in this game was very, very big. Patriots were 10.5-point underdogs, 10 points underdogs in this game. And with a Bill Belichick-led team, with how dysfunctional still Rodgers and that offense look passing the ball, it wasn't warranted, and it played that way. It played how I think we both saw playing out, close game back and forth. They might look, you know, Packers might look better, obviously, with no quarterback at the helm. But you said to me that Zappy, which is an interesting name, didn't look too bad. I didn't get to watch much of this game, but your thoughts on just maybe the Patriots, on how they've really, you know, battled.
Yeah, his first couple of series were bad, but, I mean, he was brought into a bad situation. I mean, you know, a week ago, you know, when he's the third-string rookie quarterback, you have no thought of coming into a football game anytime soon.
No.
Then you're thrust into the second quarter of a game against the Green Bay Packers at Lambeau Field. very tough position. So his first couple of series were bad, and I'm not saying that he looked, you know, like a, you know, like a, like a real quarterback at all, but he did, you know, he did look okay. Like, he made a couple of, you know, nice throws to keep New England in the game, and he didn't make any decisions that, you know, really were super costly to the offense, you know. So I honestly, you know, didn't think he looked too bad. And if I'm, you know, in terms of Green Bay, I thought they looked okay too. I just, you know,
they looked okay.
Yeah, they looked okay. Got the job, yeah, and you need to look better if you're Green Bay, because, you know, you have better aspirations than, you know, to be winning an overtime game against, you know, New England's third string guy. But you know, Rodgers, you know, he seems to be starting to, you know, gain a connection with Dobbs, which is a good thing. You know, he's going to have a second guy. You know, Lazard is going to be there. And
Lazard had a big game this Sunday.
Yes, he did. And Aaron Jones continues to run the ball really well. So I think offensively, I think they're going to be okay. And I don't think there's a ton of takeaway in terms of Green Bay in this game. They definitely needed to win. If they did end up losing this game in overtime, it's a lot. There's a lot more to talk about. But since they did win, you give them a little bit of a mulligan. It is a Bill Belichick defense that's, you know, gives a lot of people problems. And, you know, you do want to look better next week, but you came out with the win, and that's what matters.
Yeah, that's all that matters. They win a lot. They're winning a lot of these games now, and I think Aaron Rodgers said in his press conference, it's not sustainable to win games like this.
It's not.
It's not gonna keep happening. You can't rely on your defense to do everything. Your offense is gonna have to just actually take over games, especially with an Aaron Rodgers-led team. Eventually, they're going to start taking over games, and we'll see it. I'm sure we'll see it. They'll click. I mean, Aaron Rodgers teams, they always get it together. But right now, it's a little bit all over the place. They, you know, they're getting the job done, and that's really all you take away from it. I think it's good to see, you know, Alan Lazard has been in the office now a couple of years to have a good game. He's a guy that, you know, you other than Romeo Dobbs, because Randall Cobb is nothing, man. He's nothing. Robert Tonyan is what he is. And you need someone, I mean, Christian Watson, who hasn't really done much either. You need that guy to help out a lot, because he's the most familiar with this offense. And I'm happy to see him have a good game, because Rodgers needs it. As much, you know, Rodgers needs it. Because this guy, in the offseason coming into this year, we didn't really know what he was going to do. We didn't really know if he was going back to Green Bay, if he was trying to go somewhere else, if he wasn't going to play football anymore. But they brought him back. He came back, and these guys need to start winning games. Or if they start going down and losing these type of close games, he very well may just mentally come out of it as well. Which I don't think it is, because he's a competitor. But I don't know. Matt LaFleur has done a decent job.
Yeah.
So
and I like Matt LaFleur a lot, actually.
And they'll be fine. But they do need to start winning games, you know, the Green Bay way.
Yep. And not just a little bit more convincingly.
Yeah, of course. Which obviously every team asks for. But
if you're the Raiders, though, you don't need to win convincingly. You just need to win, and that's what they did. They finally got a win.
they finally got a win, and you know what? They couldn't lose this game.
No,
they really couldn't.
Which we talked about on last week's.
Yeah, we did. You just simply can't lose this game, and they didn't. They played a decent football game. It was a weird one. Derek Carr didn't do much. Josh Jacobs had a really, really, really good game. Again, did we see much Devontae Adams again?
Yeah, I think he had over 100 yards receiving.
He did. I'm
13 targets.
I didn't see the same thing.
Not a touchdown, though, because Derek Carr didn't throw a touchdown. Josh Jacobs did it all.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did. He did. Josh Jacobs is a weird one, man, coming into the year. He's one of those guys where you expect more, but it feels like his potential is not as high as what people thought it was.
Yep.
And we're kind of seeing it. We're seeing, like, what his cap is, his ceiling is. And then we're seeing, like, those blunder games where he'll have a couple carries for, like, 40-something yards and just do nothing. But, again, Raiders need to win this game. They won the game. Happy for him. Those are my Raiders. I need Derek Carr needs to, you know, throw some touchdown passes, though. I'll take that at the end of the week for fantasy and, you know, stuff in general. But I don't really have anything too big other than, if we're going to go Denver side, I think it's the same thing as we've been talking about with Denver.
Yep.
They don't look great.
Big thing with Denver this week is the Javonte Williams injury.
Oh, of course.
Which is huge for them. They did sign Latavius Murray off of New Orleans' practice squad, so I think him and Melvin Gordon will be, you know, trading carries, kind of like Williams was with Gordon. But Williams is a very dynamic running back, and that's a big loss.
Yeah, no, it is a big loss. It really is. Absolutely is.
And the O-line looks terrible. Russell Wilson, even though his numbers on paper look pretty good, I was watching the game, he didn't look very good. Part of it's the O-line, but offensively, they just don't look very dynamic right now.
No, they don't. And they need to figure it out, man, because, like, they, again, we keep saying it every single week. They have
just guys. Waiting for it. We're waiting for
they
it.
They have the guys. And both their studs, their one and number two, did score touchdowns this week.
Yep.
Which is a good thing in the right direction you want to see. But you're going to see takeover games with, if you get Russell Wilson on your team. And with these two guys who are young, Courtland Sutton's come back off injury. Jerry Jeudy's can possibly be a really big star in his league. And he already is on his way there. You gotta start seeing more. And I don't know how they're going to do now with just Melvin Gordon being their every down back. And I'm not really sure who their third guy really is on this team.
His last name is Boone. I don't remember his first name. Mike Boone, I think.
Mike Boone. You're right. Mike Boone. That is correct. And, I mean, yikes, man. Good luck.
Yikes is right.
Good luck.
If it takes us that long to get his first name, we're pretty avid football fans. That tells you all you need to know.
On the ground, apart from Javonte Williams, who had 28 yards on the ground before his injury, of course, they had 28 yards on the ground. Itself, Mike Boone had 20. Melvin Gordon had 8 yards on the ground. That's not going to help Marshall Wilson, whatever, at all in this game. And for this Denver Broncos team, again, I'm going to keep saying it. They are so happy they're 2-2.
Yeah.
They are putting themselves in a bad situation every game, how they play, but they're squeaking out wins they shouldn't have. But it's the same recipe, man. They got to figure it out. I don't know how much longer we can do it. Obviously, the winning and just having an even record is helping their case and helping this team, you know, try to just get their, it's giving them an opportunity to gel together. And if they're not going to take it, which is one of the weeks where I thought maybe they could start at least showing strides against a Raiders defense that's a secondary that's not great. It's been better. It's better, but it's not great. And, you know, good on the Raiders, though. Hey, good on the Raiders. They need this win. Completely need this win. And Josh Jacobs carried the ball 28 times. So.
Yeah. for Denver, you know, they're going to play tomorrow on Thursday night at home against Indianapolis, who's also struggling with no Jonathan Taylor. I know you don't have Javonte Williams. I'm very interested to see what they look like against the Colts. If they don't look good against Indianapolis, we might be heading down a road of a very disappointing season for Denver. And same for Indianapolis. That game, that's a big game on both sides implication-wise. And it's a win that they really do need because the week after that in week 6, they're playing on Monday night in L.A. against the Chargers.
At Denver?
Yeah. When I'm sure Keenan Allen's going to be back then, so... definitely interested to see what they're going to do tomorrow night at home against a beat-up Indianapolis offense.
Can we stop putting Denver on primetime?
I know. What are we doing?
This is their third game now? This is going to be their... Well, the Monday night's going to be the third game, right?
Maybe they're trying to get it all out early. I don't know, but you're right.
I don't want to keep seeing this team.
It's a great point.
They're not going to do nothing.
It's a great point.
So, get them off of primetime. I mean, Denver, Colts, I mean, the two most dysfunctional teams in the league.
You're right.
Right now.
You're right.
My goodness. I wouldn't be surprised if more people go to the game and watch it on TV, which is, you know, something you probably wouldn't hear.
Yeah.
But, you know, football fans are football fans, but holy hell. I've had enough. I've had enough of Denver.
Yeah.
And I think if I had to give a prediction for this game, because I know, why not? It's one of the sloppy games. I honestly think Indianapolis is going to win this game.
I'm leaning Indy, too.
More so just I trust them more to turn something around, and I think Frank Reich, obviously, out coaches Hackett right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they have more of a system built right now that they can just, you know, win a game at home. Right? It's at home?
Yes. It's in Denver.
Yeah. It's in Denver.
It's in Denver.
So, you know.
So it's going to be a close one.
It'll be a close one. I'm leaning Indy slightly in this game, but who knows, man? You can't lean either way because it's the opposite when you,
yep,
when those type of teams play so far and you're playing them together, forget about it. We'll move on to a better game. It turned into a really exciting game. Kansas City versus Tampa. I thought Kansas City was going to run away with this early. It looked like it. And I was having doubts in my head seeing this game. If it was going to be in, like, you know, really dominating fashion, I always bring it up every week. Tom doesn't look engaged. And take it for what it's worth. He had a good game. He played, again, playing from behind, but he had a good game. Almost threw 400 yards, obviously. That's a very good game. But it got scary, man. And if Tampa didn't turn this around, I wouldn't be surprised if, like, you know, you see some possible just a shuffling maybe up top with coaching. Because Todd Bowles is Todd Bowles. He's a defensive guy. And the defense has been very good for them. That's their only thing. Obviously, it didn't really help this game. But their defense has been their workhorse to get them to where they are. Their offense hasn't been it at all. You see that you saw Mike Evans, Chris Godwin come back, have been be healthy, and they had good games respectively, a piece, but it didn't help. It didn't do anything. They still took a loss. And, you know, they're 2-2. I think I'm worried. Again, I was worried last week. I'm worried about Tampa Bay. If you don't win this game where your two guys actually show out, Tom Brady throws for a big yardage, and your defense, supposed to be one of the best in the league, doesn't shut down this Kansas City team at all, I don't know, man. I think Tampa might be in trouble.
At least right now, I disagree. I'm not really worried about Tampa. And the only reason, everything that you said, I completely agree with in terms of X's and O's of football and how Brady looks and everything. Their division sucks. I mean, Baker, Winston/Dalton, and Mariota. They're going to win the division. No matter how iffy they are all year long, they don't have any competition in that division. So I think as the year goes along, we can start talking about how concerned we are, you know, of them down the stretch, you know, talking playoffs. But in terms of the regular season, I'm not worried about them at all. Division-wise, they're going to coast.
I think it's more concerning. They're going to coast, man. I think for me, what I'm trying to get at is just their team playing. Because I think they all know their division is theirs to take. And I'm sure, obviously, the public knows it's their division to take. I just think they look just as bad as other divisions, like second teams, third teams, just based off how they've been playing football. And obviously, health has a big thing. They've been very unhealthy on the offensive side this year. But I think for their standards, they can't be happy with how they're playing. And they put up 31 points, which is good. But I think they expect more from this team with a lot of talent and a lot of big names. Excuse me. And Tom Brady back, of course. You know, I don't know. I think that's more my worry. It's just their own sake and their own how they're playing for themselves, because they're going to win the division. They're going to be in the playoffs. And you can't doubt Tom in the playoffs, of course. But I think it's just more so their own play and how maybe their players might get a little bit, you know, frustrated. It might be a word. I mean, they signed Cole Beasley. He retired today. Leonard Fournette hasn't done anything. He scored a touchdown, but he still hasn't really done much at all for this team, and it's not helping. So, I don't know, man. I think it's, again, I'm not worried about them making the playoffs. I think it worries so of them sticking it together and being gelling the entire year.
I agree. I definitely agree. They don't look very good, and this was a game that Brady had his weapons back. So, you know, the last 2 weeks we've been able to give him a little bit of a mulligan because he didn't have his weapons. He had his weapons this week, and Mahomes outdueled him.
Man.
I mean, you know, I know we're talking a lot about Tampa, but I do just want to touch on KC because you just said it. He's freaking special. I mean, some of the plays that he makes when that offense is clicking, they're unstoppable. I mean, they just, how dynamic their offense is. Now they have these two, you know, Pacheco from Rutgers. I mean, the guy looks like, you know, he's the next coming of Marshawn Lynch when he's running the football. And, you know, they took this guy three picks before the last pick in the draft. I mean, they look really dynamic. And they honestly, in this game, they didn't miss a beat without Tyreek. I think this game is a little bit more about Kansas City than it was about Tampa, but I totally agree. There are definitely a lot of questions with Tampa Bay, mainly around Brady. I think the defense for Tampa Bay is still a top defense. You're going to have games like this, and if it's going to be, you know, if you're going to have a bad game, you know, in the regular season, it's going to be against Patrick Mahomes and this crazy Andy Reid offense. So I'm not worried about Tampa's defense. Definitely some worries with Brady, like you said, and, you know, how they've looked. But overall, I think this was more about Kansas City. Just they came to play. It looked like they were, you know, they came for a little bit of revenge for the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and they bounced back from a loss they should have took last week.
Yep.
The Colts, you know, and that definitely is big. In a big way, they bounced back, and it's not really been a question, but it's been a something to talk about since the Tyreek Hill trade. Just how they're going to look, how, you know, the outside receivers are going to look, but they didn't really have to use them, man. They don't have to use the receivers. Their running game was, like you just said, was really, really better than I think anyone expected in this game. I'm not a big Clyde Edwards-Helaire fan. I don't think he's that spectacular of a player. He played well. He had 92 yards on the ground and a touchdown. Pacheco, again, looked great for his limited role that he was in. But they put up almost 150 yards on the ground, or just a little bit over. And that's big against that team. So, Yeah, it is Kansas City, and they're just, you know, they keep it clicking and they keep it moving, and they've been beating teams now in convincing. This was a convincing more win for them, even though the score was only a 10-point game. This was a dominating win for Kansas City early,
especially. Some garbage time points for Tampa.
Yeah, so definitely Kansas City just got to keep on clicking. But a team that's not really been clicking, and a team that's kind of been, there's no big super duper plays, and a team you might expect a lot more of with Matt Stafford not playing well, is the Rams. The Rams aren't showing me much. They didn't score a touchdown.
Yeah, no, they're not showing anybody much. It's not just you. You don't need glasses. I'm seeing the same exact thing, and so is the guy next door and the guy next door to him. It's Cooper Kupp or bust right now. I mean, they're not getting anybody else involved. They have absolutely no run game. Allen Robinson, is he even on the field? I don't even see him.
Two catches for 7 yards.
He doesn't even look like he's involved at all. I mean, gotta give credit to San Francisco. I mean, offensively, they're obviously banged up with Lance and, you know, Eli Mitchell. And, you know, they did enough offensively to win, but this was all about their defense. And for the Rams, it's Cooper or bust.
Cooper Kupp and Tyler Higbee combined for 33 targets.
It's crazy.
Just them two alone.
If you fit right now, if you figure out how to at least contain Kupp a little bit, you're gonna beat the Rams.
Yeah.
If you can contain Kupp from going off.
Yeah,
you're gonna beat the Rams. That's just how it is right now.
If you give Kupp a 7-catch, 75-yard type of game, you're in position to win the game.
Yeah.
I mean, and it's really, really surprising to me. It's surprising to a lot of people. Again, they can't do this. They're a lot better than this. A lot better. They should be. Their roster is better than this. Their defense finally looked good, but I don't think their defense has been that really great coming into this game either. And you're right, though. Allen Robinson, he had 6 targets, but he can't disappear. He's disappeared for the whole season. He's got to be involved. He's a guy that complements Kupp just based off of a build type as a second wide receiver really, really well on how he should play. A bigger receiver, good hands, guy that moves his sticks, and he's just not being utilized at all in this game and in at all the whole season. And it's really, really – I don't really know what it is. I think it's just them and their love to just get Cooper Kupp to do it all, and it's just – it can't work that way for the whole season.
No analysis, nothing. Win or lose, they're at home against Cooper Kupp and Cooper Rush and the Cowboys this week. Are they going to win, or you think Cooper Rush is going to go in there?
They'll win. Rams will win.
They better.
They're going to win.
They better, or else you really have a, you know, all hell's going to break loose in LA, because they need to win that game.
I wonder. I'm going to look really quickly. You keep talking about this for a second. I need to look at what this line is for this week, for this game. I just wonder.
Right now, it's at -5.
-5.
Rams -5 at home against Cooper Rush.
Wow. -5 is very interesting.
It's interesting. With the line, I'm kind of intrigued. That's to Dallas, low. To be honest with you. I kind of am.
That's low.
We saw them put up 9 points against a San Francisco defense. That is very good. But I think Dallas right now, their defense grades out to be better, and I know it's in L.A., but if it's going to be Cooper Kupp or nothing, and Stafford's going to look as bad as he has so far, I might be inclined to take the Dallas line.
You know, with home games with the Rams, home games with the Rams,
they're aren't not home games. Games.
They aren't home games.
You're right. It's a great point.
It's L.A. It just isn't a football city. It just isn't. It never has. It never will. Their Super Bowl didn't even feel like people were like that excited about it. Obviously, the players are. Obviously, they play on team. They can't control where they play, but it's not a home game, and that might have something to do with it. That could have absolutely something to do with it. The Cowboys, on the other hand, are the biggest franchise in football. They just are. Maybe the Packers are big too, but you know what I'm saying? Like, the Cowboys are Jerry's World America team. They're the whole line, and I still think the Rams are going to win this game. A 5-point spread, though, in this for betting terms is definitely tough. And I thought that would be at least a touchdown. I'm not going to lie. I thought it would be a touchdown. To see it at 5 points with Cooper Rush, and you get your Gallup back, you see Lamb at a good game. But the Rams need to win this game, man. And if the Rams don't win this game, I don't know what you do. I think you just chalk it up and just go to the next game. Or, like, what if the Rams actually go down right next week on Sunday, take the Cowboys at home and lose to Cooper Rush, do you think that's more a Rams issue, which I think it absolutely has to be, or Cooper Rush and the Cowboys are just finding ways to win games when, you know, all odds are stacked against them?
I think it's trouble. I think if you lose, no matter how you lose, I don't think it's a move on to next week. I think you look at the Rams and you're in trouble.
Is there a move to be made? Is there something you do here? Or are you just kind of like, what do you think? What do you do?
You have to do other things and try to give the ball to Cooper Kupp every play. Whether it's Allen Robinson or whether they have to run the ball a little bit. They have to use Akers and Henderson a little bit. They have to take the pressure off Cooper Kupp. He cannot do what he's doing every single week. He just can't do it. They're not dynamic offensively right now. And they need to get more guys involved.
Cam Akers, 8-for-13. Daryl Henderson, who had a good start to the year, who helped this team, you know, move the football.
Yeah.
7-for-27 is doing nothing. You're right. They're both doing nothing. And it's really sickening to see how this team is ran with what they have on it. And Sean McVay, right? He's the offensive guy. He's got to see this.
We better draw something up here, man.
You see this, right?
We better see some McVay genius. We better start seeing
it. You see the issue here. People, don't let Cooper Kupp do this. Don't let him do this if you're not going to give it to anybody else. Sure, let Cooper Kupp go up and down the field. If you're not going to score, because once they get in the red zone, they didn't look good at all. Once they got there, at least, they didn't look good at all. They didn't know what to do. They were kicking field goals. They couldn't execute anything. Forcing Higbee. They had a couple throws to Allen Robinson in the red zone that just weren't competitive throws. They weren't. It's really tough for the Rams, man. Credit to the 49ers.
Yeah.
Who absolutely, stuck it to them.
Yes, they did.
And they deserve that win for sure. The Niners are, again, they've been a tough team for a while. They're going to continue to be a tough team no matter who they face. But, man, this is definitely worrisome. I don't know. I really don't know where the Rams go, man. I don't know what their ceiling is. Obviously, the ceiling is, what people expect. Super Bowl team, because they just won it last year. But they look so far away from what they were. So far away.
Yep.
I mean, again, they're missing Odell Beckham Jr. As much as people might not see that as a big issue with Allen Robinson, but he's a better receiver, and it just looked better. But it's no excuse. He's one guy who, again, he was a good guy, but you're not even getting your other receivers involved, and it comes down to that.
Yeah. Before we wrap it up, I want to give a couple. I want to give you a couple games from the upcoming week, and I don't want any analysis. I just want your winner. I just want to see, kind of how you're thinking for some of the bigger games. We already talked about, tomorrow night's game, Sunday Night Football, Bengals in Baltimore against the Ravens.
Bengals.
All right. Raiders on Monday in Kansas City.
In a blowout fashion.
So you probably think? So you think the Raiders? You think the Raiders win this week was a little bit of a fluke?
I don't think it was a fluke. But you play the Denver. Obviously, Denver's defense is decent. But man, I haven't seen anything from really other than the one week against the Colts, where Kansas City's going to let up, and against this Raiders team, they in a division game at home in Kansas City, I think they'll go up 2 touchdowns against them.
Two more quick ones. Lions in New England. Kind of a tough one.
That's a tough one.
You don't know who's going to be the quarterback for New England, but...
Tough one.
In New England, though.
I'll go New England by a field goal.
Last one. Dolphins in the Meadowlands against the New York Jets, the 2-2 .500 Jets with Teddy Bridgewater at the helm.
Dolphins. Teddy Bridgewater figured out. I love Zach Wilson. I love Zach Wilson. I think he's very fun. He's a guy that's very fun to root for. And the Jets obviously haven't had to root for nothing in so long. And I would be surprised if the Jets win the game. I really wouldn't, especially with Teddy Bridgewater. But the talent's just, it's on Miami. So, I think Miami wins that game. Probably, around a touchdown. Four points, 7 points.
I definitely hear you.
So, what about you? You have any game that sticks out to you that, has upset potential here?
Yeah.
If we're going to look into it?
I like the Jets, to be honest with you.
I do.
I think,
that's fair.
I think they're going to be able to run the ball, and I don't think we're going to see a great dynamic offense from Miami, at least while they start to get Bridgewater involved a little bit. So, I think I might like the Jets. I like the Titans on the road against the Commanders. They don't look good right now. Henry started to figure it out last week against Indianapolis, so I do like the Titans on the road. And then the last one that I'm kind of going to – I think I'm going to take, you know, a little bit of, you know, upset fashion just in terms of the spread. I don't think they're going to win, but I do think the Falcons are going to be under the 8.5 in Tampa Bay.
I agree with that.
I do. I'm not going to pick them to win or anything, but I think it's going to be a closer game than 8.5. I think people are disrespecting the Falcons right now, and even more, I think they're putting too much on Tampa Bay.
Man. There's a game of the week here. It's Texas Jaguars. Or how about the other game of the week? Seahawks Saints.
All right. Who cares and who cares?
Fair enough. All right, that'll do it, because I'll just blabber on about some just BS games. I mean, hey, it can't be BS games if, you know, we see 48 points from Seattle again. That'll be fun to watch, but I doubt that'll happen. But it's been fun, man. It's been a good week. A slightly longer one. Not too long, but a good one. And we got a lot out, which was good. Good conversations, I think, so far, especially this week. There was good conversations about certain things. Again, we, you know, just takeaways from this weekend. The biggest takeaway, I think, the top three things that we need to see improve on. A, Baltimore needs to close out wins if they're gonna have leads. B, goodness, I don't know. Where do we go? There's just so much.
Does Indianapolis or Denver have a season?
Yeah,
does
either of them have something a season? Going on? You're right. That's a big one. That's tomorrow night's game. And last one for me. Do we see any life? Not life, but do we see? What? Oh my goodness! I'm drawing a blank. I just saw it.
I know what you were thinking. You were thinking you're taking the Cardinals at home over Philadelphia this week.
Yeah, you're probably right.
That's what you're definitely thinking.
That might be a tough game.
It might.
Oh, we just talked about it. Rams Cowboys. Do we think the Rams are going to figure it out and actually, you know, get a win where they should get a win?
Yep.
That's all. We'll see. Because if they don't, it's tough. And then, of course, like you said, the quarterback controversy will absolutely be in effect, and there'll be a lot of questions flying around. I'm going to Skip Bayless have a heart attack. So, all right.
Skip.
We might see Skip have a heart attack. But that's going to do it. Again, been a pleasure. I appreciate you coming on every week, man. It's always a fun time. Looking forward to it every time, every week. I will have this up ASAP as soon as it gets down, and as soon as this goes live, probably with, well, you're not going to hear it. But I will drop another comment section into the Spotify playlist. I wish Apple allowed me to do that, because Apple is, you know, the ideal. But I will drop another comment section. I'll maybe drop a few questions on upset of the week, you know, how the podcast flowed, and anything you guys want to hear or see or have any ideas to talk about next week. But until then, man, I appreciate everyone watching. Thank you so much, and have a great one. Appreciate it.